Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
This episode is brought to you by Harry's Razors, special holiday offers. Happy holidays.
Mamma mia.
Merry Christmas, we're bringing it back.
Oh, we're bringing it back,
that's
okay.
That's right. Exclusively here.
Oh, buon Natale.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. With me, as always, is my co-host, Nick Mason.
Sorry, I'm late. I was watching The Irishman.
Oh, mate.
I think maybe I'm still watching The Irishman.
How many bloody weeks did it bloody take you to bloody... did you start it before it went on bloody Netflix and you still bloody get it done on time?
We'll talk about it.
We'll talk about it. Really long for a movie, isn't it?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
But it's not long... We'll talk... But it's not long for like a... It's not long for a miniseries.
No, it's not. Exactly.
And it's not long for like a season of things that you'll put on that'll appear on Netflix all
Do you think
sudden?
It's more like the psychological aspect of it being 3.5 hours that makes it be like, this is long. But if it was like 6 to 7 episodes, you'd be like, this is
maybe
risk.
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, I don't know anything at this point.
Our tape for sale, aren't they, Mason?
They sure are.
Explain that.
So
last
year, we partnered with our friends over at audiobooksontape.com.
It was a hot time.
And we put some best of The Weekly Planet on a little USB cassette tape. It's not a real cassette. Oh, it looks like a cassette. It's got a little USB flicky thingy out.
Mm.
And you can put it in your computer or your phone or what have you. And you can get all the best stuff from last year's episodes. But this year, we put all 30 of our movie commentaries on another tape. I didn't know we'd done 30 commentaries. Isn't that wild?
It doesn't even seem right.
Right?
Like the amount. Yeah. Anyway, but it is. And how many hours is it?
69 hours.
Nice.
There we go.
There is a bonus one that's exclusive on there, that being Avengers Endgame. We're not releasing that online anytime soon.
Yeah.
So if you want to get that, it'll be on there.
Yeah, now, right. So there were 250 tapes on the website. They've all sold out, but you can click back order, and the guy over there, he knocks them out real quick.
Yeah.
So people have already got them.
Oh,
like
really?
They went on sale, I don't know, like a couple of days ago.
Yeah.
And people already have them. So
oh,
people already,
he's all
people
over
already
it.
Posted
yeah.
them. And they're in Space Age white this time. They look great.
Also, you can choose your currency. So you don't need to worry about
that's
particular
true.
Conversion or what does it actually cost or whatever.
Also, you can delete what's on there and replace it with anything you want.
Oh, my goodness.
You,
and that's the dream.
That's worth its weight
that's
in gold,
what I did
I
with
think.
Mine.
Yeah. Right.
I replaced it with 30 additional commentaries I'd done just with me.
Wow.
That's right.
Is it just commentaries on your life? It's just you muttering under your breath. You're like at a cafe and it's like, this is taking a bit longer to get my coffee, isn't it? I'm done like this.
Service anomaly, isn't this? Yes.
I've discovered my new favorite thing this week. Speaking of cafes, I just remembered earlier this week, you and I went out to lunch at a cafe. We brought your son along. And I've discovered my new favorite thing is attempting to convince your son that all his Transformers are named Reg.
Yeah.
He does not care for it. Because one of them was called Wedge.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, Reg. And he's like, no.
It's
and I'm like, oh, that's that Red Alert. No, that's Reginald Alert. Your friend Reginald Alert. He's like, no.
So I think you did convince him that Megatron's father's name is Regitron.
Yes.
At some point.
Reg Megatron.
I think that might have made
anyway,
that
anyway, he doesn't like it at all.
He doesn't like it.
So...
It's fun though.
It's so much fun.
Yeah. It's hard not to do. Yeah.
Well, that's, I mean, you know, I want, I, you know.
He likes you.
I think he's turning around. As he gets to know me, he's liking me less. Yeah. So.
Well, that's probably true. Anyways, first bit of news. It's an odd bit of news, but I thought, I guess this is worth talking about because Johnny Depp is producing a musical about the life of Michael Jackson that will be told from the perspective of the late singer's famous sequin glove. Do you want more information?
No, that'll do. No, please, actually.
Playwright Julian Nitzberg, wrote "For the Love of a Glove,"
keeps getting better and better.
An unauthorized musical fable about the life of Michael Jackson, as told by his glove, which is described as a fresh revisionist look at the strange forces that shaped Michael Jackson and the scandals that bedeviled him.
Do you think in this unauthorized revisionist thing, do you think he's called Michael Jackson, or do you think it's like a Jackie Jomp situation where he's like,
oh right, well could it be like
Mitchell Johnson,
but can you
the king of pop,
because you can write unauthorized biographies of people, can't you? Or you could say it's a parody of,
I guess,
sorts,
so
yeah.
You also can't defame the dead.
Oh,
so
really?
You can say whatever you want, really.
That's very interesting.
Like legally you can't get sued for that.
I didn't know that.
So.
He told Page Six that a major TV network had asked him to write a film about Jackson, but pulled out after that him and the network couldn't agree over how to cover the allegations of child abuse. So he proposed a solution. I said, how's this? Everything MJ has been accused of has actually been caused by his glove, which is actually an alien from outer space and feeds on virgin boy blood. They laughed and said, can you do the normal version? And he turned down the TV off and decided to write this idea for the
stage.
Now,
you've made that up.
None
of
that.
You've made up a funny joke.
I mean, it's...
it's one of the weirdest things we've ever said on this podcast. You've made it up. And kudos to you for making up such a weird thing to blame alleged pedophilia,
yes.
On...
a magic space glove.
But I mean, he's dead, so I can't defame him. So
that's, yeah.
On a magic space glove. Where did he acquire the space glove?
Who's...
also, is this in or out now?
I think it's like Venom 3. Like, it lands next to him. Huh. And then grabs the first thing it sees. Michael Jackson.
Michael Jackson.
I don't... who wants this? Like, surely, though, if you're a massive fan and you're with him 100%, you don't want to see a movie, or sorry, a play, where a space alien glove makes him commit pedophilic acts?
Yeah, right.
Do you see what I'm saying?
Like, I do say, yeah. This but maybe you do. Maybe you're like... I told you it was the glove all along. Why are we talking about this?
I don't know.
But hang on, isn't that... that's the joke thing he said. So the, did he
no,
really...
no, that's the one that they're
really
making.
Did he really propose...
yeah, he proposed that, and that's the one that they're making into a play.
With the space glove.
Yes.
I still don't think this is real. I think you've seen the headline and you've riffed a bit.
I went into...
and the riff's gone too far,
I have
but you've committed...
exactly what was in the article.
Well, this sounds...
I'm not
awful.
Saying the article is accurate. I'm just saying this is what was written from the source article.
That's insane.
Yeah.
Wow.
Anyway, so Johnny Depp's involved.
And
for
it's
some
called
reason.
For the Love of the Glove.
It's called For the Love of a Glove, colon,
oh,
an unauthorized musical fable about the life of Michael Jackson as told by his glove.
In parentheses, not a pedophile.
But the glove is?
But the asterisk. But the glove is a pedophile.
So here we go. That's happening. In less controversial news, Star Wars.
All right, yep.
Less?
Oh, maybe we should open, like, whenever we have an opinion about, like, The Last Jedi or something like that, we could be like, somebody's making a pedophile musical about Michael Jackson where he's not a pedophile. Anyway, Star Wars news. And people will be like, thank God.
Yeah, they got rid of that. Out of the weeds. Deadline have reported that The Rise of Skywalker is looking to hit about 175 to 200 million in its opening US weekend.
Good or bad, can't remember anymore.
It's good, but also tracking means nothing.
Nothing, yeah.
They don't know, and whenever they're like, well, it's below, it's because the estimate wasn't right. If it's below or above, it's because they guessed wrong, and they don't really, like, then the way that they figure that out,
it's almost entirely arbitrary.
It's almost entirely arbitrary. Yeah. It's sketchy, and they don't really know.
Yeah,
and, you know,
right.
Sometimes it's accurate, but, you know, it's like the weather.
I mean,
it's not like the weather, because the weather is often accurate.
Yeah, the weather is more, a weather report is more accurate these days than it's ever been.
Yeah.
Bad.
Yes.
But the tracking seems to be, it's wizardry at this point. It's just like.
Definitely.
Or like, you know. Pulling rocks out of a bag or whatever.
Yeah. I mean, it wouldn't surprise me if it's less, though. Yeah. It's going to, because the last year I was 200.
Because get woke, broke, go broke,
get
bro.
Get broke, go broke. That's what
right,
I say.
Yes. Get broke, stay broke. Bro.
Bro. I was going to say bloke.
Yeah. Also works.
That's less than The Last Jedi's 220 and The Force Awakens 247. So, yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. It wouldn't surprise me if it was diminishing returns.
Because of Get Woke, Go Broke?
Well, no, because I think...
Yeah, no, of course not.
I just... I mean, I'm sure that, again, that's probably an element of it. But I think everybody who screams Get Woke, Go Broke sees it anyway.
Oh, yeah,
I think
for sure,
they,
yeah.
They don't boycott it. And I think they go to see it so they can scream about it regardless.
Yeah, because they're cowards.
Yes, because that's what we're saying.
Yeah.
No, so anyway, well, I hope it's good.
I think the slogan should be Get Woke, Be a Good Bloke.
Bro.
Bro. Thank you. Hashtag get woke, be a good bloke, bro.
Bro. Also, I'll get all the bloody Star Wars stuff out of the way.
Okay, thank you. Basically. Appreciate it.
Then we'll get back to the glove thing, all right?
Okay, good.
John Boyega also, it was reported this week that...
What do you think Mark Hamill... what do you think Luke Skywalker's seven hands up to these days?
I think good stuff. Okay, probably good. Doing charity.
Probably doing charity work. Yeah. Thank God.
I know, right?
Thank God there's some good ones out there.
Yeah.
Do you think Michael Jackson cuts his own arm off Evil Dead style? Like at the end of it?
No, I think he just has a pill overdose.
Oh, yeah, that did happen, didn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, and the glove runs away.
Skitters under like a table or something?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And waits for its next.
And then it takes over. Then it during like his auction of all his stuff, it takes over that statue of the Michael Keaton Batman that's got his face on it. Like it jumps on that and it becomes like a monster.
Anyways, I don't know if you remember, but a script for The Rise of Skywalker turned up on eBay.
I always heard about that, yeah.
It turned out that it belonged to John Boyega. He left it in a hotel room, like under the bed. Somebody got it, put it online.
Okay, right.
It all got recovered, but they didn't want to reveal who it was, but this week he was like, it was me, I did it. this is my last one, who cares? Yeah, right.
Do you think there's like a budget at Lucasfilm or like any of these places that's like...
Lockdown
budget to like bid on stuff on eBay or whatever. It's like this... All right, it's $50,000. All right, I guess we're buying it.
I think they send
a guy with a gun,
like lawyers and cease and desist.
Yeah,
and
right.
I'm assuming that's how they got it back. They wouldn't buy it back, but they would spend more money than it would be to buy it back to crush the person who got that.
Yeah, but do you think also you'd have to do something about presumably the person who found it read it.
Yeah,
so they know the plot of Rise of Skywalker.
Yeah,
so
I guess they would. Yeah,
you got to silence them, right?
Yes. With a gun.
With a gun, exactly, yeah.
So I'm just taking my jumper off. I misread the temperature in this room, which is always the same
James,
temperature.
James, what's happened here is you're recording one of your commentaries, your real-life commentaries. I just took my jumper off. It's too hot in here. I don't like this. Yeah. I'm complaining, but there's a cafe. It's too hot in this cafe.
Stay broke. Bro, yeah. Yeah, so what happens to the person who knows
the plot details?
Good. Well, did they even read it? Probably, I assume.
I would. If you found the Rise of Skywalker script, would you read it?
No. But I also wouldn't put it on eBay.
Well, that's true.
I'm not
a
moron.
Yeah.
So
you know what? I'd probably put it in an envelope, mail it to yourself.
And yeah.
Then, I don't know what that
Do what means. He did in The Predator: swallow it, get on a plane.
That's exactly
so. What
right.
happened in The Predator?
That's what happened. Yeah.
The newest Predator movie.
Uh-huh, yeah.
Yeah. Anyways, there's still spoilers out there about it. So
a bloody magic glove in the Predator.
Yeah.
Tell you what,
it's a good movie.
It's not.
It wasn't a good movie, was it?
That was a bad movie.
We have got the runtime though. It's 141 minutes, which is more than The Force Awakens, which is 138, but less than The Last Jedi, which is the longest, with 152.
Oh my goodness.
So the runtime is, what's that?
About
2 hours,
the same.
2011, whatever that, 2021? Mm-hmm. I don't know, whatever it is. The other thing is...
You wouldn't read it?
No, I really wouldn't.
Would you flick to a random page and read a word?
No, I probably wouldn't. I'd probably read Solo. Like if Solo fell in my lap.
Now?
Oh, yeah.
In the year 2019?
Definitely. If I found
oh my God,
copy
this movie
Solo.
I've seen.
No, I wouldn't read it. Would you read it?
Oh, I reckon maybe I'd read the opening page.
Okay, yeah, maybe. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember when I saw Revenge of the Sith, mm-hmm. right?
Yes.
Well, I got the video game the day before, because it came out the day before for some reason. And I played the first level of that, and then I turned it off because I didn't want to know. So as soon as you get to Grievous' ship, or get through the first bit, I turn it off.
Okay.
So that's whatever the equivalent of that is.
Right. Okay.
Yeah. The other thing is I don't know, I think you started calling it my magnum opus because it's certainly not.
I've really bigged it up.
Why have I been calling it that? It's a 34-minute kind of mini documentary about Shadows of the Empire,
that's
which
right.
is a Star Wars multimedia project, which is basically, I was going to say it's a movie. It's not a movie.
It's never been a movie.
Book. It was a comic series. It was a video game. It was a toy line. It had a soundtrack.
You're going to say it was a toilet. It was a toilet.
Yeah. It had micro machines and weird latex masks which you've seen sitting around in my house for.
Did it have Ring Raiders?
I don't know.
Do you remember the Ring Raiders?
Which were Ring Raiders?
They were like little planes.
Yeah.
On little rings, like little plastic rings.
Oh, you launched them off?
No, they didn't do anything.
Then crap.
They didn't do anything. They were like a little plane on a ring on a little stalk, like a plastic stalk.
Bad.
And you were just like, woo.
Ring Raiders.
Bad name too.
Yeah, not good. Mm. Ring Raiders.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, I didn't think they had any Ring
Raiders. Couldn't call them that these days.
No. Now, but I haven't actually
PC got mad.
Absolutely. Mm. When recording this, I haven't put it out, but it'll be out by now. So if you want to check it out, I really appreciate it. It's got some really cool animations in it, which is, you know, I mean, so if the video's bad, because
at least you got the animations.
I cannot tell. And I'm also, I can't wait till I've made like one critical error in it that I've missed.
I can't wait.
I'm just going to get that comment for the rest of my life.
I can't wait till it's pointed out you made a critical error at like minute two.
Yeah.
And then inside your mind, you can see it all branching off, all the errors that yeah, now are right. being compounded.
Yeah.
You said to me, should I take any of it out? And I'm like, no, because you were like, is this interesting? But yeah. I feel you've watched it probably so many times, you can't tell if anything's
interesting. I did end up chipping probably a minute out of it at the end. Just like stuff that I feel like I repeat myself. But anyway, if you're very interested in that very specific era of Star Wars, you might be keen.
I think people are.
Yeah, we'll see.
Mm, I'm going to watch it. Opening day.
I don't believe, what, today?
I guess.
I love your enthusiasm. You didn't want to watch the opening day, but now you're like, God damn it.
It's 34 minutes, you know? Yeah. I mean, you shaved that minute out, but
yeah, I know,
do
right?
I have time? Maybe I'll put it on in the car, like on my phone, and just leave it.
You'll miss the animation. Oh, so I make sure that I know that you've watched it, yeah. Mm. In relation to the Hulk news, this is what Mark Ruffalo told The Con, which is apparently some kind of source for media. That I've never heard of. Maybe it's a big one. Kevin Feige asked me last week if I had any more ideas or stories for the Hulk. And I said, yeah, I still think there's some stories.
Yeah, how about you give me a script for a Hulk movie and I act in the Hulk movie because that's what I get paid for. Not to come up with your ideas, Feige, you son of a bitch. And then I got fired. I don't understand.
They got Edward Norton back.
Yeah.
Did you see any the interviews where he talks about the Hulk and why he wanted to make it good and whatever? And he was
No. I saw some of his like Edward Norton's like iconic role.
Yeah, I watched that
video.
They're good those, aren't they?
They are good. I like them a lot. Yeah,
and they're good because they just let them talk. It's not like, what's your craziest day on set? Tell me about you. Tell me.
Yeah.
About your
so I feel like if they have a lot to say, and they're not. What I like about them is they're not to a particular time frame. It's not like that we've got 10 minutes. Like some of them go 40 minutes.
Yeah.
Some go 15 minutes. It's just however much they want to talk.
Yeah, exactly. And then often they get to their latest movie. I'm like, ugh. Turn it off. Yeah, tell me about the latest movie.
Although Jamie Edward Lee Norton. Curtis did one recently for Knives Out, and she's like, Knives Out inspired me to start, like, she's going to direct a movie.
Oh, really?
This is coming up soon.
Oh, terrific.
She's like, just the idea of, like, making a new thing and just the creative process on set and blah, blah, blah.
It's called Spoons In. Thank you. And I said, there's still...
like an ice cream sundae or something?
That's
right. Wow, what a nice time for everyone.
And I said, there's still some stories to tell. And he said, well, why don't you come in and tell me them and we'll see if we can find a place for you in the Marvel Universe. And apparently what he spoke to them about is Hulk versus Wolverine, which I think could be pretty great.
That could be great. I mean, that's the...
It's a good team-up.
Well, it's the team-up, and that's kind of the iconic first appearance of Wolverine was Hulk versus Wolverine. He was just like a... Sort of an antagonist in Canada.
That would make sense.
A cantagonist.
A cantagonist.
Which is what you call any enemies you make in Canada.
True.
Yeah.
That would make sense, though, because they often go back to the source for a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
So I didn't even think of that, but yeah, that would be a good introduction.
Because there's that iconic one, and then in the Ultimate Marvel Universe, there was I'm not sure if it was ever finished. It might have been finished months or even years later.
Every time.
But there was an Ultimate. Ultimate Wolverine versus Hulk.
Can someone definitively tell us if this is finished?
Yes or no?
Yeah.
Was the series completed? Because the art was great.
We don't want a I don't know.
Yes, we want a yes or no.
Only if you know.
Only if you know. But it's the one where there's an iconic panel where the Hulk tears Wolverine literally in half, like at the waist, and he has to drag himself to find his legs and put himself back together.
Classic.
So, you know.
Also, there's also, of course, the Old Man Logan Hulk showdown as well.
Well, that's true,
So there's been
quite a few. But, I mean, you know, a lot of people are constantly wondering how they're going to introduce mutants to the you know, the MCU.
Mm.
And maybe it's Wolverine dragging half of himself to his legs.
Find his legs.
That could work.
How did I get here?
Mm.
He says to himself.
That's right.
Hulk did it.
Record scratch. Yep, that's me.
No, that's just my legs. Yeah. I could just start with his legs.
Just standing there, just that's wobbling, and then they fall over.
In other news, I was wondering what was going on with this movie because we hadn't seen a trailer. Kong vs. Godzilla was pushed from March to November.
Okay.
I don't know what this necessarily means. Being pushed back is it's often not a good sign.
But it's often not the worst sign.
Yeah, so, but because
It's a spectrum.
Yes.
On one side, you have New Mutants, and on the other side, you have a movie that was improved by this.
Sonic?
Yeah, Sonic. is the release date of Sonic being pushed back?
Yeah, because remember they had to redo all of it.
Yeah, I know, I remember.
Yeah. So, I don't know, maybe this is something to do with the last Godzilla movie underperforming. Maybe they're not happy with it. Maybe it's a special effects thing. Maybe it's all of the above. Maybe they're just targeting a different November release date to kind of to get a clearer shot at the box office.
Maybe Kong suffered a knee injury.
He might have. So, don't expect to see a trailer for that anytime soon, I'm assuming, off the back of
I remain hopeful, and I'm going to expect a trailer sometime very soon.
Well, that's not what I said. I said the opposite. I said wait a little bit. I think now's way too early.
I've waited a little bit from when you said that moments ago, and I'm fully expecting a trailer.
It's literally a year from now. Sometimes they do it. Justice League was like a year and a half.
But I can see them dropping a teaser that's just like, pan across Skull Island, dark, lightning bolts, and then like...
set of legs.
Godzilla. Yeah, set of legs tumbling
over. How did
they
get here?
Yeah, it's just Kong's legs, smoke coming off the top of them, like atomic breath, like a little blue glow, and then his legs tumble over.
Terrific.
And then it's like, yeah, that's how it's going
to
end.
Yeah. So back to Marvel News. This is by Charles Murphy. Victor Von Doom will begin expanding...
Is that Charlie Murphy? Eddie Murphy's brother.
He died.
Oh.
You can't defame the dead.
That's true.
You can say whatever you want. Is that what you said?
I don't have anything bad to say about Charlie Murphy.
I don't either.
No, I don't know enough about him, to be honest.
I very much enjoy his Dave Chappelle skits where he talks about the 80s or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
Victor Von Doom will be expanding his empire, apparently. Listen to this, Mason.
Oh, yes.
Conquering parts of Africa and ultimately come into conflict with the nation of Wakanda and the Black Panther, hence the introduction of Victor Von Doom into the universe.
Oh.
So do you think
so? Charles Murphy said this?
Yes.
Who's that?
I can't remember. So that's like one of those Scoops dudes.
Oh!
Yeah.
From Spoons Inn.
From Spoons
From the movie Spoons Inn.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow.
So do you think that's what they'll be doing instead of launching straight into a Fantastic Four, straight into an X-Men, introduce some characters in other things and then...
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we need to introduce a new big bad villain. And we don't have to, but it'd be nice.
Yeah, they've definitely tangled before. Has he invaded Wakanda before? Almost certainly. Because he's got his own nation.
And
he's
again, I mean, you know, again, the original origin of Black Panther was a Fantastic Four crossover, so...
Exactly.
Going back to the well.
Going back to the well. Also, I meant to mention this earlier, but by putting Wolverine in a Hulk movie, it means you, again, don't have to pay... Universal, who still own the rights to solo Hulk movies.
I see, right.
So they'll the next time we see Hulk, if at all, which we will almost certainly, it'll be another crossover, I'd imagine, for certain. Also, solo Hulk movies don't generally do well.
And also, can you imagine Comic-Con? They're doing one of their bloody timelines again, and they just put up on the screen Hulk versus Wolverine. Like, that's the title.
Yeah.
Imagine the woos.
Do you think they'd call it Hulk versus Wolverine, though?
Maybe.
Or are people...
Oh, are they averse to V movies?
I think the V movie has been... I don't know. They've sullied it.
Yeah, maybe.
Because there's never been a good one.
that's correct, yeah. you're forgetting about Ford v Ferrari?
Apparently that
Dawn
is very
good. Dawn of Clutches?
Good. Yeah.
That's what that movie is.
That's apparently... My brother, who's not a cars guy, the one you don't like, he loved it.
All right, there you go.
But it's not... It's called...
But I feel he also likes bad movies, your brother.
Sometimes he does. So do you.
But here's the thing. I feel at least I'm consistent, like my methodology of what I like. But I feel your brother's all over the place.
Yeah, that's probably
true.
He
just likes or doesn't like things entirely at random.
You can't get a read on
it. I can't get a read on that guy.
That's why you don't like him. One of the many reasons. Yeah, but it's called Le Mans or whatever.
Oh, Le Mans 66. Yeah, right.
Which would not sell here. Nobody would see a movie here called, except if you're a car nut.
Or you like French things.
Or you like French things, which everybody in Australia does not.
Yes.
Other than the fries, obviously. Mm. Are they even French?
I don't think so.
French get a bad rap, man. I've been there. I found them very nice.
I've also been to France, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've both travelled. I think in most countries...
On a bicycle built for two.
That's right.
Wearing stripy shirts and berets.
The problem is, though...
Baguettes in a bag. Ding, ding. Yes.
We're facing different directions. We're pedalling away from each other. We couldn't get anything done.
That's right.
Yeah. But no, I think like in most places, if you make the effort to like learn like little phrases and things, you know...
Baguette.
Baguette.
Mm-hmm.
And all the slurs. And then all the slurs.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
This report comes via Variety. There was a big write-up about the future of the DC universe and how they're looking to maybe fill that R-rated gap in the superhero universe, because Marvel obviously aren't going to do it in movies, at least. So it's just, you know, they're like more R-rated stuff and whatever, et cetera, and so forth. But one of the things they mentioned is they've yet to figure out what to do with the iconic characters of Superman and Batman. Batman is obviously further along because, you know, that movie is...
They've cast it
and it's all ready to go. But they've also been talking about J.J. Abrams about Superman, because remember he signed that deal with Warner Brothers to produce and direct. And
he's long been attached. Superman Flyby, was that him?
Yeah, he wrote Flyby, but McGee was going to direct it. And then Ratner. We've got a video on it.
Yeah, we sure do.
From like years back. There was also a meeting with Michael B. Jordan where he pitched to Warner's on a version of the character. However, he's not ready to commit because he's got a full slate. So if that happens, or if a Superman movie happens at all, it won't be before 2023, because they're literally at... like day dot, they've got nothing.
Yeah.
Even though they've got a Superman in the universe, which people seem to like, I would say.
Would you replace? If Michael B. Jordan was in and he was going to be getting in on what remains of the DCEU,
yeah,
would you make him Clark Kent Superman, or would you make him a different Superman?
I'd make him. What's the other version of Superman with the red, the gold, not the gold, the, like the silver suit? If you put him in the universe from there, then you do that version.
Yeah, right.
But I'm not adverse to him just being Clark Kent. I don't think it matters. That big a deal. Mm. I know that's get woke, go broke, or whatever you want to call it. But
yeah.
And I know people say, well, what if Black Panther was white or whatever? It's not the same. But to cast him, what is that other version of Superman called?
I can't remember.
Yeah. But I think that would be interesting to bring in different
versions. I'm just going to Google black suit. I know this isn't very PC, but I'm going to Black PC. Superman.
Well, what else are you going to
remember? Remember his name.
Yeah, but I think there are. If you're looking for a different take on Superman, then there are other versions of Superman you can do.
Yes, exactly.
Just like also, there's other versions of like Batman. You could do Dick Grayson, Nightwing, who then becomes Batman. There's various versions of every character. Like, how many Green Lanterns are there? There are other versions you could potentially touch upon. I don't think you necessarily have to do Rocket comes to Earth. He grows up on a farm. He discovers his powers, and et cetera, and so forth. Like, I'm kind of sick of that.
Yes.
More than anything.
Mm. Calvin Ellis is his name, I think.
Is it C-A-L? It's not like Cal as in K-A-L.
C-A-L,
is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is, he's from the Multiversity, which was that parallel universe, the Grant Morrison one.
Yeah, yeah.
He's also the president of the United States.
Oh, he's that one. Yeah, I was going to say, he's the president. He's the president.
Maybe I'm thinking, isn't there another one?
Yeah, I thought there was another one.
I think there's another one.
Yeah. Anyway, just do any version of that or
just
whatever.
Do any version.
Yeah. Anyway, maybe we'll do a video on it and I'll properly research it at some point.
Yes, please.
Now, apparently trailers for this week are going to be getting Bond, maybe a Wonder Woman, maybe a Black Widow. So I'll be busy, obviously, which is really
trailer
exciting.
Breakdowns, Easter eggs.
So I'm kind of really interested to see what this new Bond movie is going to look like. I'm just hoping it's just not like Spectre 2. That's what I'm like. Just don't make that again.
Yeah, right. Uh-huh.
But it's going to be an interesting week. And I want to see Taskmaster. Some good stuff happening this week.
Oh, he's going to be in, or she is going to be in the Black Widow movie.
New one, so
yes.
Keep a bloody eye to the ear stone grindstone to know what's
happening. An eye to the ear stone grindstone. Okay.
That's right, to know what's happening this week for that.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus,
Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of shit, mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. And you know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify, and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. Right. Mason, you got a lot of guys in your life?
Wait, what?
Yeah, I know you do, because it's the holiday season coming up. Maybe it's a dad, brother, uncle, maybe a mate you do a potto with. I don't know. You know what I mean?
Oh, I see. You're angling for gifts. I get it now. I understand.
And I know
I see through your ruse.
You know, often guys, they might get a dull, cliched gift like socks, wallets, and ties. Here's a brilliant idea for you. Harry's Razors, mate. Yeah. A gift that's both thoughtful and practical.
Don't pick out a tie for somebody.
No.
It's never the right tie.
Because what do you love about Harry's Razors?
I love the pronunciation first.
Yes.
Some people will be like, Harry, I'm just going to go down to the supermarket and get a razor. Don't, get a razor.
That's right.
Harry's Razors. But I like the smoothness of the shade.
You know
it's
it.
It's very good. I like how they last a long time.
That's right. Do you know why they last a long time,
good,
though?
Because tell me, please.
Well, they're German engineered, yes, and award winning.
Ooh.
And they're backed by 100% quality guarantee. So if you're a mate that you're getting a bloody razor kit for or whoever, yes, your dad, your potto pal, whatever you want to call it, if they don't love their shave, get a full refund.
Oh.
Holiday sets start at just $20. That's within Secret Santa limits. You know what I mean?
That actually is. It's true.
Yeah, big time.
You'd have to be one of those people who's like, well, look, it cost me $100 because I got you the shaving kit. People would be like, that's odd.
Yeah, you're throwing out the
You're throwing out the balance that everyone hates you. Yeah, exactly.
And Harry's blade refills are as low as $2 each, so your guy will save money over time. So your pod mate, sorry, will save money
over
time.
Oh, yeah, I see.
Yeah. It also comes in a ready-to-gift handsome holiday gift box. I think it was last year because they sent us one. I gave one to my dad, and he was like, thanks for the great gift, son, and I love you again. And you're back in the will,
he said. And you were like, excuse me? And then you contemplate it for a bit and you're like, I'll take it.
That's right. Also, 1% of each sale will be donated to charitable organizations.
That's very nice.
Here's a special offer. Here it is. Get ready. Mm-hmm. As a special offer for fans of the show, we've partnered with Harry's to give you $5 off any shave set, including their limited edition holiday sets.
Oh.
When you go to harrys.com/weeklyplanet, plus you get free shipping.
That's right. Pumpkin spice razor.
Mm.
Eggnog razor.
A little Santa hat on your razor.
Yeah, no, it's good.
Those are joke ones.
Those are joke ones. The real ones actually work for shaving your
yes.
face.
Each Harry's shave set comes with a weighted handle with the option to engrave.
Oh, yes.
5 blade razor cartridges, foaming shave gel for a rich lather, travel cover to protect your blades. Can't emphasize enough. Those are actually really good. Package in a handsome holiday gift box. Free shipping ends on December 16th. Oh, my goodness, that's coming up. So act now. just go to harrys.com/weeklyplanet. That's harrys.com/weeklyplanet. On with the show.
On with the show, yes, please.
Get some razors.
Put some razors on your face, oars.
It's linked below. To mark the release of Irishman, we're going to do a 3.5-hour review.
Oh, my God.
We're going to minute do an audio minute. Commentary.
Oh, my God. You should have recorded that as you were watching it in snippets. My favorites. There's been so many. I'm really just enjoying just memes. You know I love memes.
I know you love memes.
And my favorite reference to the Irishman on Twitter was, it was a guy, I'll find it, but it was a guy saying, I'm finally enjoying Martin Scorsese's The Irishman as it was intended. And he's driving down a freeway on a motorbike and it's like mounted in one of those GPS mounts and he's watching it on Netflix. It's so good.
That's terrific. Yeah, because there's people are doing like Apple Watches and all sorts of things.
Right.
You watched it on your big TV, I assume?
I did watch it on my relatively big TV. At Some Bad Ideas, this guy.
That sounds like a great idea.
He says, shaking my head when you're trying to focus on a 3.5-hour epic about the moral decay of the men of the greatest generation in the longest continuous underwater vehicular tunnel in North America, and others don't have respect for strictly observing the speed limit. It's a really good point. But there are people in his mentions who are like, I hope you know that's very dangerous. He knows. He's not actually.
He's not really
concentrating on the Irishman.
So anyway, after a limited theatre release, I don't know if it came here. If it did, it was...
No, I think maybe it would have... If it came anywhere, it had come to like Cinema Nova or the Astor. Yeah. Or like, I'm not sure it made it to like...
I kind of wish I did see it at the cinema though. I feel like it would have been like more immersive.
And it would have been more immersive. And again, if you're paying $20 for it or whatever or more, you are inclined to focus and...
Yeah.
And I don't know, like, you know, Scorsese going out of his way to saying, you know, certain things are not cinema and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. I feel like, has this proven his point that is that part of this that we can all watch it on our phones or in our homes or in snippets or leave and watch an hour and then come back and watch an hour later?
But that's also how I watch most things.
Right.
Like if I'm at home, like, because, you know, people are busy.
Sure.
But maybe most people don't have 3.5 hours to just sit down and...
Yeah,
you know, when
but should we have made the time? Are we the fools?
Yeah, look, to be honest, like, also this cost $160 million.
Okay,
but first of all, what did you
Where
think?
Did it go? Where did the money go?
De-aging and, like, it's a period piece.
All right, yep, and I cast. Guess it's period piece,
What do you think the story was?
Oh, okay, it's... De Niro's a guy, his name's Frank Sheeran.
He's Irish.
He's the Irishman. He's an Irish guy and he was in World War II and he liked killing people. He didn't like killing people, but he was like, he's okay with killing people.
He seemed to like killing people.
He seems to be okay with killing people, so they call him a house painter because he's like, he paint houses, which is painting houses with people's blood.
Yeah.
And then he gets up.
So imagine a big bucket of blood. He's like, yep.
Yep.
That's not what we meant, Frank.
No, I stored all this blood from all the murders I did in World War II. I loved it. I put them in a pit and I shot them and then took their blood. And I'm like, what do I do with all this blood? I guess I'll paint some houses with it.
Frank, you're not going to get away with this. I don't know about that. Watch me go.
Have DNA technology. We can kind of get away with anything. If you don't see me murdering somebody, I kind of got away with it. Anyway, he gets mixed up with some maid guys.
Yeah.
Because that's most Martin Scorsese movies.
Yes. This is not Goodfellas or Casino to me.
No, but is it riffing on all of those things?
A little bit.
Yeah.
I think it was most interesting to me in its... I thought it was fine. Sure. I thought it got more interesting as it went.
Yes.
I thought it was pretty standard mob stuff for the first 2 hours.
Yes.
But the last hour in particular deals with what happens to a man who used to paint houses.
Sure.
It's a metaphor. He killed people.
Oh, right.
And when all of his friends are suddenly dying or dead.
Yes.
It's the modern day. Nobody gives a shit. It's done.
Well, there's a moment
you're
in
contemplating
it. Yeah.
Your life. I'm like, maybe that should have been the majority of this movie.
I mean, some spoilers for... No, this isn't a spoiler, I guess, technically, but the framing story of this, it opens on Frank Sheeran in a nursing home.
Yes.
Relaying his story to some people. So
to
you know
Ed
he,
Sheeran.
So you know he's alive at the as you know now and at the end.
Yeah.
So there's no real tension as to whether this character lives or not.
Mm.
But there's a scene towards the end, he's saying, you know, and this we're talking about Jimmy Hoffa and somebody, and I think it's a nurse, is like, who?
Yeah.
And is that, you know, and there are people out there who are like, you know, when Martin Scorsese started talking about, you know, Marvel movies aren't cinema. People are like, well, who's Martin Scorsese?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of...
Which is a ridiculous thing to say.
It is, I mean, it's true, but I mean...
No, I mean just to be like, I discount all of his work.
No, I know, but I mean there are literally people who are like, yeah. I don't know who Martin Scorsese is.
Yeah, okay, sure, yeah.
Yeah, who are like, and is this Scorsese being like, well, we all lose relevance eventually, yes. kind of thing.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is it just weird that it's come up at this point where he's said some...
Oh, right, yeah, that's entirely possible. I thought the slow burn nature of it, I think, because his last movie, which I cannot for the life of me remember, what the hell is it called? Silence.
There we go.
Which is about bringing Christianity to the Japanese.
Yeah.
It's incredible. I really loved it.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know, there was an energy to that this one really lacked. And I think a lot of it is you're painting these 70-year-old guys...
Houses.
As 30 to 50.
It's but mysterious it's, what it's not, supposed to
it's
be.
It's so strange because, like, and I put one clip on Twitter and it wasn't really kind of to make... Because I guess it was to make fun of it because it's a ridiculous, like, beatdown... Robert De Niro scene.
It's a beatdown scene, and it's very. There's a scene in Goodfellas which is quite similar with like the next door neighbor. Like somebody in this one, a shopkeeper like shoves the Irishman's daughter.
Yeah,
and so he goes to the shopkeeper and he beats him up.
Yeah,
like he drags him out of the shop and he kicks him in the street.
But that is a prime example of how you can change somebody's face.
Yeah,
but when you're 70, 75. You can't change the physicality of a person. It's the same thing with Samuel L. Jackson in Captain Marvel. Yeah. Whenever he's like doing an action scene, it's like it doesn't look.
I mean,
right.
You can, but that's way more money than.
Well,
his,
you need to do a, get a different
you,
person.
You need a double, or you need to like invest millions of dollars in a scene where he kicks a shopkeeper. So why wouldn't you just
And like the glass breaking and everything, the whole scene.
It's
is
not into the CGI. I don't think is entirely convincing. It is in some scenes more than others. But you mentioned that the youngified De Niro in this doesn't quite look right.
Well, because he doesn't look like young De Niro
because he's wider.
He's wider, and like because you know your head changes.
Yeah.
Because if you look at 40-year-old De Niro, like if you look at like Goodfellas, Casino, Heat.
Yep.
That's what I was expecting to see.
Here's the thing,
and
though.
And he's not that
No,
version.
I think you're right, but I think he looks more Irish with a wider head.
Sure.
He looks, you know.
Big Irish head.
A big Irish head. He looks like he's got a big potato head.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay, sure. I got a big Irish head.
I know.
So, I found that incredibly inconsistent and distracting.
Sometimes it's quite good. Sometimes it's quite plasticky.
There's things that they didn't really change, like, old men get like watery eyes sometimes.
Uh-huh.
Like, and when you've got like a smoothed out face and like old red watery eyes.
Yeah.
It's just.
And this is ILM. This is the. But I guess this isn't their. I feel like Industrial Light and Magic, you know, when I was growing up, was like, oh, if they're involved, this is going to be seamless. This
but like,
is
how did they do it? Did they take reference footage from the earlier movies, or did they just
did they smooth it out? Did they use that iPhone?
Yeah,
app?
I think they just smoothed it out because the way that they often do it is they'll scan, they'll reference old movies, and they'll kind of, you know, like they do with like Kurt Douglas and
Michael Douglas,
whatever. One of the Douglases.
What they did is they youthified Michael Douglas by taking an old photograph of old Kirk Douglas
and
just pasting it over the top. And two negatives and make
made,
a positive.
It made him look younger by comparison.
Yeah. But no, you're right, but I feel like...
I was talking about Kurt Russell. Like they get the hair and the footage and the references.
Yeah.
And then like, Joe Pesci's like, hey, kid, what's going on? How old are you? How old is he?
It's mysterious, isn't it?
I don't understand because you look the same age.
I was going to say because ILM, like, again, they're known for high quality CG and visual effects and any, you know, every kind of effect. But I guess this isn't their stock in trade kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, if Scorsese's burning his bridges with the people who are the best at this, Marvel, then...
Yeah, I mean, because, look, it is an incredible cast, and people are saying, like, it's good to see all these guys back, but I feel like they don't have the energy anymore. I think they've got the energy to do the older versions, because I think when they're old and when they're in even older man makeup, there's a moment where Joe Pesci is, like, 90 years old, and he's eating bread, and he's shaking, and it looks genuine.
Yeah.
You know, and the performance is good because he's not doing younger, he's doing his age or older.
I feel like, and I wonder if this was ever discussed, if there would have been an opportunity to get Leonardo DiCaprio as the young Frank.
I think they should have recast them all.
Yeah, right.
To be honest, genuinely,
yeah.
And then do them old.
It's the thing, like maybe you get
I think that would have been way better.
Maybe you cast, I mean, I guess the dilemma is do you get a cast of unknowns?
Yeah, right.
And then, but then...
But that's what they did for, sort of, like, for The Godfather 2,
yeah.
They recast, what's his name, Brando.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? And De Niro doesn't look like
Brando at all. Brando
at all. You know what I mean? So you, yes, is what, yes, there,
there
is, your
but
question.
Here's the thing, there is, but I also feel like we've hit that. You know, we talked about a while back, you know, when we talk about Hobbs and Shaw or Fast and Furious or whatever, every actor has a certain list of demands of like, well, I can't be seen as, I'm going to get, all the actors are like, or even like Bohemian Rhapsody, where it's like, well, all the characters have to get an equal amount of screen time or what have you.
Yeah.
Like, is it a function of, we could get younger actors, but De Niro requires a certain amount of screen time. And if you intercut him with a younger actor, that's in breach of his contract or something.
Maybe. And maybe it is distracting because people know him so well. It's like recasting Harrison Ford as Han Solo or whatever.
Yeah.
Maybe it's maybe that would be more distracting.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I just found it.
But this is pretty. I mean, if that if that's a 10, if recasting is a 10 on the level of distracting, then this CGI is a 9.
Yeah, absolutely. But if you look at like, I was just thinking about like Taxi Driver again, Goodfellas. There's that vicious scene, that beatdown in the bar where they get that guy down and De Niro's just stomping this guy.
I feel like this is actually quite mild.
Yeah, absolutely. Like there's such an energy to De Niro being that much younger that there just is not here. And again, I think it works in the back end when they're supposed to be the ages that they are.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it's really good then.
But to constantly go back to the scene that you tweeted, when I watch that, if I'd been thrown through a glass door by De Niro, I still feel like I'd have the energy to just scamper out of his way.
Yeah, totally.
But this guy's just like, oh, I'm on the ground. Yeah. I don't care for this.
And maybe it's like a fear thing as well. But like the sound effects don't match up. And it's just an odd scene.
Mm.
Yeah. So
something I like, I mean, it's worth a watch, I feel.
Yeah. Oh, definitely. Yeah.
You know what I liked? I liked, again, there is a good all-star cast in it for the most part. Anna Paquin's in this. I don't know if anybody noticed she's in this.
I'd forgotten that
Oscar winner Anna Paquin.
I'd forgotten she was in it until she turned up at like the 3 hour mark, maybe. Yeah, but she's really good as well. Well, Jesse Plemons again, barely in it. Yeah.
There's what I'm enjoying. There was, I don't know if it's, I don't know how much improvising is allowed on set, but I felt a lot of the dialogue. There's just some throwaway dialogue in some of the scenes in this movie. There's a scene where Jesse Plemons' character is like apologizing. Everybody gets in a car and he has to apologize because he had to pick up a fish for someone. You know, it was a frozen fish and it thawed and it made the seats wet. And there's this conversation about what kind of fish was it?
Yeah.
Why didn't you clean it up?
What's wrong with you?
This place, the car's always going to smell like
fish.
Never put a
fish in the car.
There's a scene.
I liked that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's some scenes about like Pacino, who plays Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah.
He's very concerned about time and being on time.
Oh, I love, if you love a movie about Pacino being very particular about when people do or do not show up for a meeting, then you are gonna love this.
Yeah. There's
10 minutes is too long, but 5 minutes is good enough, and maybe I'm accounted for traffic and I was here early and
there's a character who play the actor whose name I cannot recall, but he's in Snatch. He plays Tommy in Snatch. And he was Al Capone, I think, in Boardwalk Empire, maybe?
Oh, okay, yeah.
And he is a British actor, I think, who's carved out a niche. He's like as a kind of a mob guy. He's done a lot of mob roles. And he plays the rival union boss who he and Jimmy Hoffa have a rivalry. And I think he's great in this.
Oh, yeah, I completely agree, yeah. Uh-huh. Because he's the age that he is.
He's the age that he is, and he's playing the age that he is. Yeah.
It also does a thing where I felt there's Casino. One of the things I don't like about the movie Casino, and this movie does it.
Is it Robert De Niro's many salmon-colored suits?
No, I like that a lot. I
think that's great.
But they often start referencing and montaging things that, and it's this more so, that are irrelevant and they don't really factor into the story. It's like, you know, it's like...
Also, just side note, here's us criticizing Martin Scorsese.
Oh, yeah, look, again, I don't think there's a movie of his I don't like except for Gangs of New York.
Yeah.
Which I really don't like.
I should rewatch Gangs of New York. Yeah, maybe we should rewatch Gangs of New York.
You know, it's like, what they were doing, they were getting the money from Jimmy the Fix, and Jimmy the Fix had to throw it over to Johnny No Legs, who kept it in the safe before Sammy Two Ears showed up, and he was like, they shot him, and it's just like, what is this... Who cares?
Right.
It went from here to here to here or whatever.
And again, I have a theory about that, which is that Martin Scorsese knows a lot of made guys, like real mob guys.
Yeah.
And he's promised them all minor roles in all of his movies. He has to get through all of them. So he's like, do you want a scene where you get handed an envelope full of money and then you walk across the street and you hand the envelope of money to another guy?
Yeah.
Sure, I'll do it. Sure.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's.
Yeah.
I just find that stuff really like, I know, like, maybe it's a callback or a throwback, but it's just like, we don't... This, I don't know, again, what am I saying? It's fucking Martin Scorsese. I don't know what I'm talking about, but I just found it so interesting, the back end of this guy's life.
Yeah.
And I don't even think he regrets what he's done necessarily, because he's clearly not that sorry. He just doesn't want to die.
He's done a lot of murders. Yeah,
but he doesn't want to die, and he's sad that nobody likes him because he sucks. Right. You know, and I think that's really interesting because I don't think he had a problem with killing anybody. I think he was that kind of guy, but he still has these regrets because his family hate him.
And I feel like a lot of people are potentially not going to get to that last hour.
Yeah, right.
Because it is a lot of Johnny No Legs passing an envelope of cash.
Sure.
If we're doing Martin Scorsese's
editing. I hate doing this because there's no way I could make anything anywhere near as
good as this. Here's the thing, though. Here's maybe something we know that Martin Scorsese doesn't know, is that we all have the attention spans of goldfish at this point, and we know how Netflix works. Yes. And I don't think Martin Scorsese knows how Netflix works, and that people are going to... That people have 10,000 other options.
Yeah.
Could this have benefited more from more flashbacks... To more present day stuff of Frank being an old man and people not caring about his life.
Absolutely, definitely. And then minor flashbacks, because there is like a World War II flashback. It's maybe a minute. And I think it's really effective.
Yeah, yeah.
Because first of all, you don't really see the de-aging and he's supposed to be like 24.
Yeah, right, because he's got a helmet on.
He's got a helmet on for the most part, but it's right over his face. Right. And
he's on backwards.
It's on backwards. And you get an idea of what kind of man he is immediately.
Yeah.
But then all the vicious kind of stuff he does from there, because he's so slow and you can see their old hands and the kind of hunch and the way you notice it when they're going up and down stairs and things like that.
Yeah, right.
And he's clearly wearing stilts for like the big shoes for a lot of it, which we know from the... Yes. Yeah, it's...
Set photos, yeah.
Yeah, so whatever the thing you said is yes. Yeah, right. Answer to your question.
I mean, if that is what this movie is about, I guess all of the Scorsese mob movies are about like, well, people do bad things and redemption is just kind of out of reach. And people are often like, well, I kind of regret some of the stuff I did.
Yeah.
But now it's too late because I'm in jail or I got blown up.
Yes. Yeah.
Most of these movies are about that. But if this movie is like a left turn from that and it's like, well... Because we never with Goodfellas and with Casino and those ones, we don't really see that much about
like the end of
the life and somebody who survived all this the bloodshed and mayhem or whatever. What do their lives turn into? And I think that is maybe the most interesting part of like what happens to a sad old guy and like he's got all this stuff and people are like, whatever, old man, who cares about this Jimmy Hoffa guy you're talking about? I don't care.
And it kind of makes me think about the end of Goodfellas.
Yeah.
Where Ray Liotta's character, who crushes it in that movie, by the way. Ray Liotta's amazing in that movie.
Ray Liotta's not back in this, for a minute.
No. It doesn't really do this kind of stuff.
No, I guess anymore. That's true, yeah.
You know, he's a suburban guy. And I'm not saying I'm not saying I want a Goodfellas sequel, because I certainly do not. Right. But, like, it did make me think
about... Even better fellas.
Yeah, that's right. No, not as good fellas. Yeah, yep. But it did make me think about, like...
On Fleek fellas. What's the current reference? I don't even
know. Dab fellas.
TikTok fellas.
But what happened to that guy? And again, I don't want to see it, but it made me think about there's so much that you could explore in that. I know there's a movie I've been meaning to watch for years, which is about the final years of Sherlock Holmes, where he's got one more case, and it's Ian McKellen. He's like 95 years old.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's supposed to be great. I have it. I've been meaning to watch it, but I think I'm just hitting the same drum here. But yeah, I don't know. I think it was... It's wildly inconsistent, but also I wonder if that last hour would have worked if I hadn't seen the 2 hours.
That's
prior.
What I'm talking about. What do you cut? If you want this to be a breezy watch, what do you cut out?
It's not the breeziness of it, because I wasn't like, oh my god, this is fucking excruciating.
I did.
Okay, fair enough. Yeah, I guess there were moments.
Maybe I didn't initially, but I think I got to like.
It definitely sags in the middle.
I got to like 1:18 left, like one like an hour, and I remember distinctly like 1:18 left. And then I watched it for a really long time, and then I paused it for a second and had like 1:10 left. And I'm like, what happened? What's going on? I don't understand. Yeah. We should have a segment called We Fix a Beloved Auteurs Movie.
By just cutting some stuff
just
out.
Just cutting some stuff out. What we cut out of this idiot's movie? But I guess.
But what if it was like
what beloved auteurs are really left? I guess. Yeah.
Nolan, I guess.
I guess we'd have to go back to some old stuff and be like, what do we cut out of this?
But I think, can you imagine if it was leaner and faster and more vicious? And then when he's old, I think that's more of an interesting contrast because he's not that different when he's 90 to when he's supposed to be 40.
Yeah, right.
Uh-huh. You know? Like when you see a guy, prime of his life, stomping a man's head in, and then he's in a nursing home and he's all like, the nurses are being friendly and nice to him. Uh-huh. That's weird. You know what I mean?
It is
like
weird.
It's strange.
Yeah.
But I don't know. What's with, is fucking wine and bread a thing? Because I'm pretty confident it isn't.
Don't understand.
I mean, I know you.
Scarpetta is a thing.
Yeah,
you've
sure.
Got a, you've got a pasta sauce.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you put the bread in there and you're like, get that, don't want to waste this sauce.
You
yum,
know
yum.
It. Yeah.
But I don't know. Maybe it's probably a Catholic thing.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's, yeah, I figured it's some kind of reference like that. Also, he's not very Irish, is he? If we're honest.
He's barely. No, exactly.
De Niro like, might be Irish, yeah. I don't know. But.
If you were like, all right, look away from the screen. Don't look at his big potatoey Irish head. Listen to his dialogue. Where's he from?
Which one of these guys is Irish?
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, we haven't really done spoilers, but I don't really have anything to say in terms of spoilers.
I don't think there is anything to spoil. I mean, again, we know the main character lives to the modern era.
Yeah.
Jimmy Hoffa is a Teamster union boss.
Yes.
Who famously disappeared, I feel. So the circumstances of his disappearance are explored in this.
Yeah.
Or are they? Like, is this an unreliable narrator who's like...
Yeah, I guess you'd have to look at the real story, which I'm not really familiar with. Mm. Yeah.
Well, no one knows. That's
the
thing.
No one does know. It's a real, that prime minister that drowned in Australia, whatever the situation.
Picked up by a submarine.
So they say.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't see how. You can't open a submarine underwater.
They did it Terminator Salvation style.
I was about to say, yeah. But that was in the future.
Right. I don't know. Do we have more to say about Martin Scorsese's The
Irishman?
I mean,
I'll 100% watch the next thing he's doing as well.
Yeah, right.
Like I really like Wolf of Wall Street. Mm-hmm. I really liked Silence. Goodfellas, Casino, you know.
Yeah. There was less. There was less. I feel the spoils of war, kind of like,
oh, like really reveling in
because that's not what the Irishman's about. He's just like, I want to provide for my family or what have you. But like these kind of movies often are like, I'm in a casino and there's cash raining on me and diamonds and I'm throwing diamonds on Sharon Stone or whatever. You know,
she doesn't like it. They're sharp, but I'm doing it.
Yeah,
I'm doing it regardless. Mm. Yeah, I don't know, man.
Yeah,
I don't know. Best movie.
Best
ever,
movie ever. Look, it's 100. Look, this movie from renowned auteur Martin Scorsese is definitely worth a watch.
If that back end stuff about regret and old age appeals to you, stick through it. I would say, but
I wonder if there's a weird edit order you could do it in to make it seem more like. Could you watch the back end first somehow?
I don't know.
Okay,
I'll probably not watch this again.
Yeah, right. Fair enough.
Would you watch this again?
Okay, could you, as an option, not watch this movie again?
Yeah. I mean, that's...
Right. Cool. All right.
Would you not watch
this
movie
again? Do you think there's an editing order where you could just simply not watch the film?
What would that look like?
Could you simply listen to our review again?
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I would actually be really interested in what people think of this.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of people loving it, but I am seeing people who are like, oh, it's boring and it sucks and it's... And bloody, what's his name, who? What, the Scorsese who or whatever, you know?
Robert De Niro who?
Robert De Niro.
Harvey Keitel who?
Robert De Niro. No.
Oh, yeah, nice. Got him.
Thank you.
Got him.
Oh, yeah, Harvey Keitel's in this.
Yep.
Forgot that. I was like, oh, my God, Harvey Keitel's... Oh, he's not really in this. Ray Romano's good in this.
Yeah, he's the sort of the mob lawyer.
Yeah.
Not a mob lawyer, he's a union lawyer.
He's a mob lawyer.
He's a mob lawyer.
Let's not beat around the bush.
Mm-hmm.
He's good in this. I did like at the end, I guess this is a spoiler, that they're like, he's like, call my lawyer. And he's like, everyone's dead, idiot. Everyone you know is dead. Just tell us what went on. And he's like, I won't do it. I thought that was interesting.
I won't give you no names.
Yeah.
No, we didn't, yeah.
Exactly.
Well, you can give us the name of all the dead people, which is everyone.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Because actually there was a thing kind of happening where like they'd show a guy and then they'd flash up on screen, shot in the head in this year, had a heart attack in this year. And I'm like, why are they doing this? Uh-huh. Who cares?
Right.
But then obviously it's because by the time you get to the end, it's like, oh, that's showing that all these people are just slowly being whittled away from his life.
I guess that's true, but also... Him.
Also, I was thinking like, how many of these guys did he kill?
Right. Yeah. But also, I guess... You don't really like many of these characters are just kind of background characters.
Yeah.
Like for the 3 hours we get, like the two plus hours, you know, in the past, we don't really see him in that many with that many friendships.
Yeah.
So the fact that some guy got whacked or like, you know, he got shot or hanged or whatever.
Yeah.
Or shivved 19 times in the head or whatever.
Cool.
It doesn't feel like that much of a loss.
Yeah.
Like if he had some genuine friendships in that era.
Yeah.
And then we see that character killed.
I mean, I guess there is that. Yeah. There's that one that happens.
Yeah, right.
It's like a genuine one, but yeah. Because, yeah, that's actually one thing about Goodfellas is when the people around and close to him die, it affects the Ray Liotta character, like, greatly. And that changes the course of his life.
Yeah, because they were good fellas.
Because they were good mates and
Friend fellas.
Best fellas. They all used to kiss when the cameras turned off.
That's great.
That's a little behind the scenes.
Oh, that's nice. That's really, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Great.
So they're Italian.
Yeah, no, I get it.
One of them is maybe Irish. All right, the next segment.
Yeah, what we reading?
What we gonna read?
Oh my goodness.
I'm doing the thing. What
are we reading today? I was gonna say contained within this segment, obviously, what we reading. I think it's now a regular feature, is our feature. Who watches the TV show Watchmen, parentheses, James and Meso, asterisk, Weekly Planet podcast.
Good show.
If somebody could knock that up in the Watchmen font,
please,
that would be really good.
Yeah. Also, do you reckon we should edit this into a spin-off podcast, just a 4-minute podcast of us going, yeah, it was good. I think I liked it.
It was pretty
the last
good.
One.
It was good. Yeah, I liked the last one.
The squid wasn't in that
the
one.
The squid. So the
do you
most
want to talk about Watchmen up top?
Yes.
Then? Okay. Spoilers for the last episode of Watchmen.
Yeah. Right.
Here we go.
It's gone in some good directions.
You called the.
I did call this
the,
one.
He was Hood of Justice.
It was African American all along.
That was really. I really liked that because I saw the trailer for the next episode, and it's like, it's a trip down memory lane. I'm like, boo, I don't want to trip down memory lane.
Why don't you want to trip down memory lane?
Because prequels, man.
Okay, right. Okay,
but,
sure.
But I really liked it.
Yeah.
I thought every episode seems to really build really well off the last one.
Yeah, and everyone has an interesting take.
I mean, as TV should, I guess.
Yes. This is an example of competently made television. Competently made serialized narrative. Yeah. What a twist. Yeah.
Yeah, but I thought, what an interesting way to, enact justice in a way that won't have people come after you in that era.
Yeah.
It seemed like it would have been a necessity, not just, in this universe, but if that a similar thing happened now.
Yeah,
just wouldn't happen that way, you know what I mean? And that they explore the relationship between him and
Captain Metropolis,
and he doesn't believe him about the cult and the whatever and all that. Yeah, I just thought it was great.
Yeah.
What about you?
And there's some, you know, some revelations as to how the present day version of him who is in a wheelchair managed to hang the police chief.
Yes.
Just got him to hang himself with a hypnotic strobe light.
I thought it was also interesting that maybe he wasn't a Klan member. But he's clearly got clan ties because he's kept this thing.
Yeah, right.
But I'm like, why would you have that?
Would you
that?
Keep the cult? Well, that's it.
They'd be like keeping your grandpa's Nazi uniform.
Why do they keep all the Confederate statues up? I don't know.
It's a good question.
Yeah.
Where
do you think it's going from here? We didn't get any Ozymandias this episode.
No, well, next episode we're definitely
they're all kind
of
self-contained.
Yeah.
We get what is interesting to me is a lot of these episodes are kind of self-contained.
Yeah.
But it all does feel like a larger narrative. I'm not well, this is disjointed and weird.
It feels like we're heading for a cliffhanger, though.
At the end of the season? Yeah, for sure.
It'll be the return of Dr. Manhattan, or Ozymandias will be back, or there'll be a second squid.
Oh, no.
Two squid.
Do you think clones might be the new squid? You know what I'm talking about? Clones?
Like a delicious dish? Clones of the new squid.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You go to a fish and chip shop and get some battered clones.
They deep fry a portion of your own clone flesh and you eat it.
Delightful.
Like a creep.
Maybe.
I don't know, because Lady True has some kind of cloning technology, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyway, anything else on this? Do you want to talk about The Mandalorian?
Yeah.
It was all right.
Wait, our famous segment, who watches the TV show The Mandalorian?
James Mason.
Asterisk Weekly Planet Podcast. If somebody could make that in the Star Wars font.
Please.
Or in an opening crawl.
Yes.
But we'd appreciate it.
This felt like a very expensive episode of, say, Walker, Texas Ranger.
Xena Warrior Princess.
Anything like that.
Yeah.
But also, those tropes obviously go way back to, your Seven Samurais. And
I guess there is kind of a... It's very much, if you were on board with this show generally, you'd be like, oh, this is a throwback to classic...
Yeah.
Hero storytelling techniques. But if you are not, you'd be like, well, this is this is quite formulaic in the sense that, I mean, spoilers for The Mandalorian.
Yes.
That, you know, he goes to the town and he's initially hesitant because he's all about duty and being the Mandalorian and Mandaloring about the universe or what have you. But then he finds that it's a place he really could settle down and enjoy, but then there's trouble. But then he learns to... Maybe he falls in love with the widower, the lovely, beautiful widower that lives there.
Cool.
But also, and then he solves all the problems, and then maybe it is time to settle down, except they found him and he has to go.
Has to go.
Like, it feels like this idea that the only reason he's turning around and thinking about settling down is because narratively we know he can't.
Yes,
because we know that there's something that's immediately going to show up.
The rest of the series isn't going to be him.
Yeah, right.
Farming
exactly. Yeah. Yeah,
great inclusion of the AT-ST as like this monster in the woods. It actually the whole thing reminded me of Battle for Endor, that Ewok movie.
Yeah, because they got a.
There's like a gang of marauders and
there's a gang of peaceful villagers who've got to learn to fight.
It's very careful. Which again, it still calls back to whatever and whatnot. But
yeah.
Gina Carano, I thought was really great.
She's good.
I hope she shows up again as opposed to.
Have you seen Haywire? I think we talk about it every time. Yeah.
But they dubbed her voice in that, apparently. Oh, yeah. And this, she's better, I assume.
I'm going to look her up very quickly because I'm not really sure what she's been in other than those
probably
two.
Probably a Fast and Furious movie.
She's probably been in a Fast and Furious movie. Because Ronda Rousey was in Seven.
Yes, she's in Deadpool.
Oh, she is too. Yeah, that's right. Mm.
She's good in Deadpool. Yeah.
Mixed martial arts record, 7 wins, 3 by knockout, 1 by submission, 3 by decision.
Oh.
1 loss by knockout.
Probably the last fight.
Relatives at Glenn Carano. He's got his own Wikipedia page. I'll check out that later.
Open a tab.
Anyway, blah, 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 television and film career. She was at Cameo in Kill Bill Volume 1. She's a witness at the wedding.
Really?
Yeah, apparently. But there's no footnote there. You can't click on it. She was in a cult film called The Ring Girls. She's in Command & Conquer Red Alert 3.
With Tim Curry?
I hope so.
See in that one?
Where they go to the one place capitalism can't touch, outer space. She's in a Michael J. White film, Blood and Bone, in 2009. She's in Haywire.
Mm-hmm.
In the Blood, an action thriller directed by John Stockwell. She signed on as lead in an all-female ensemble action film described as the female version of Expendables.
Oh, I remember that.
She's in Fast and Furious 6.
Oh, she is.
She's on the Rock's team before he joins the Fast and Furious team.
Does she betray him or anyone? Doesn't matter. Keep reading.
No, she fights Michelle Rodriguez, though.
Oh, okay.
In July 2013, she and comic book creator Rob Liefeld announced they were working on a big screen of adaptation of Liefeld's Evangeline. Now, if you don't know Evangeline was like prime 90s...
it's like Barbarella.
Yeah, like she was she was like Fallen Angel kind of character. But she was in that prime era of female depictions in comic books where they had like the
martini glass waist.
Yeah, the martini glass waist and like the big boobs and the big butt, and every shot of the character was like as that super weird cheesecake where they're like snapped, like they're twisted so you can see their boobs and their butt at the same time. You know that shot?
Yeah.
And they always got a big sword or whatever. Yeah. You know?
Great stuff.
Anyway, that doesn't seem to have happened.
Yeah.
She's in Deadpool.
They did a test footage and she got a severe injury from doing that pose. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, good for her.
Good for her. Yeah. Anyway, I really liked her in this and I hope she comes back because a lot of these characters kind of zip in and zip out. I wonder whether he's building a ragtag team.
Yeah, right. So
like
he's
at the end, he's got
Gina Carano.
Gina Carano's got Carl Weathers. He's got an IG-88 version or whatever.
They'll put him back together? Put his head back together?
Or another version. There's millions of those things.
The Kindly Widow?
Kindly Widow. Nah, nah.
No, she's
love.
She can shoot. Come on.
No, but it's love. So
yeah,
I think he might be assembling a ragtag team.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Glenn Carano was on the Dallas Cowboys.
Excellent.
Which is a football team. Someone on
was it just a set of Cowboys?
it was some Dallas Cowboys. Somebody on the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group.
Who?
I'm going to find out. Had a theory. Well, not a theory, but was basically. Wouldn't it be good if the Mandalorian was revealed to be a lady?
Right.
How good would that be?
Oh, man.
They Samus Aran it from Metroid.
I would be shocked.
Yeah, right.
Because they've clearly cast a man.
Pedro Pascal, yeah. But I mean...
You can alter the voice or whatever.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Voice modulator.
Mm.
And people are like, well, it's not a lady... It's not a very lady arbor, is it?
Phasma.
Yeah,
it's not lady
that's what I'm talking
either.
About. Yeah, they're like, well, we've seen a lady version of it because there's a the blacksmith is a lady black, and she's wearing lady armor.
Can't be two ladies.
But that's what I'm talking. But I mean, like, some people dress in a more in the real world.
Yeah.
Some people can dress like and in different ways. I don't know if you're aware of that.
I don't believe you.
Yeah.
I saw Ben, who edits a lot of great stuff, including Caravan of Garbage, comment on a tweet that was like, I can't believe that the only person who could shoot in the village turned out to be the woman. Like, how? Why is she the only one? Where did she learn to shoot?
Uh-huh. People learn to shoot places.
What do you want, a fucking miniseries about where she learned to shoot?
Yes.
Yeah.
God. Anyway. Oh, I'm fired up for Kindly Widow. The Kindly Widow, Mandalorian font.
But also, also those people don't.
Boom, 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 boom.
People like that don't want a Kindly Widow explain a series of why they could shoot anyway. Anyway, all
great.
But
I think also people don't know that apparently that Samus Aran, the big reveal that she, Samus Aran in Metroid was a woman.
Isn't that generally loved?
Yeah, I think
so. That reveal? People like that reveal.
People blow their minds.
Are we going to say people already knew?
No, a lot of people didn't know.
Yeah.
A lot of people now don't know that that was a big reveal at the time.
Oh, yes.
Like, it's commonly known that she's a woman in the modern games, but I think.
Well, I think it's one of those things that I always. Because, I saw it in a Nintendo magazine or whatever, so I always knew, yeah. Also, though, if we're talking about what we're reading, what we're going to read,
yes.
Chip Zdarsky, Jason Liu with Colors by Paris Aline, they've worked together on a Comixology exclusive comic called Afterlift, which is basically an Uber driver who's tasked with taking somebody to the underworld. And it's a couple
fun.
Issues in, and it's, I mean,
okay.
All those people involved are good, and I think, it's definitely worth a read. If you like comics about... I mean, old law versus bloody millennial tech, Mason. You're going to love Afterlift. You like Chip Zdarsky.
I do like Chip Zdarsky.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah. I watched a, on YouTube, it was Scarlett Johansson and Chris Evans.
Interview each other or
whatever? Yeah, that thing, yeah. And Chris Evans recently was in a play called Lobby Hero.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if that's relevant to anyone, but I just thought that was interesting. It's a security guard in his late 20s, his strict supervisor, an overbearing cop, and his rookie female partner. Set in the foyer of a middle-income Manhattan apartment building in the middle of the night.
Okay, there you
go. Fun.
I like Chris Evans.
I do too.
Why don't you marry him?
Is he already married?
I don't think he is. He's married to his dogs.
Good for him.
He loves dogs, Mason.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
That's really good.
Not in a weird way, I assume.
Is that right?
Anything else?
I like that Mandalorian theme.
Yeah, it's good.
But again, can't recall it off the top
Same
of my head.
Same guy who scored Community.
Oh.
Yeah. Which I'm actually rewatching at the moment.
How's that going?
It's good. Mm-hmm. It's actually, I'd forgotten. Like, I was kind of like, is that good? It still holds up. I mean, it's still dated because it's like, it started like 10 years ago. But there's a lot of funny stuff in there.
Nice. I love
Magnitude.
Funny stuff.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah.
Anything else?
No, that's about it, I reckon. Should we do letters?
Yeah.
Let's talk about letters.
The classic one was a letters.
Good speaker on that.
I know they're here right now. We're going to do letters.
It's got 11,000 views.
That can't be right.
No, it is. Because it's on YouTube,
obviously.
Have we
done 11,000 shows?
We've done 11,000 episodes,
That actually makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Hey, if you want to reach the show, hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter or shoot a email over to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
Shoot an email.
Shoot an email.
That's our new call to action. Shoot our email.
Shoot an email.
Shoot our email.
Shoot our email.
Yes.
Is that what I said? Or is that what you said?
That's what I'm saying. Shoot our email.
Well, I'm saying it too then. Okay, if you're saying it, I'm on board. Yes and, Mason.
Thank you.
If you want to go first, or do you want me to go first?
Go first. I've got one right here.
It's from Spud Bear says, what's the best live action Joker design? Not characterization or performance, but just the way they look. Live action. Is it Cesar Romero for you?
That's a really good question.
We've talked about it before, but I like elements of the Jared Leto one. Everything but the tattoos I really like.
Yeah, I like it as well.
Yeah.
I like the fact that he's not strictly in a costume. He's just wearing really garish, like gold tuxedos or whatever. Yeah. He looks like Mickey Rourke just walking down the street. I don't know if you've ever seen Mickey Rourke in his daily life.
I absolutely
It's all snakeskin shoes and tuxedo jackets in the
daytime.
He's
got it going on.
I genuinely like that design.
Yeah.
And I also like that when he went to rescue Harley Quinn, he put on white tie and tails because it was very nice. It was like a special occasion.
That is nice, yeah.
I like Jack Nicholson's version.
I like everything but the face.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I like the suits and the guns and the weird stuff.
I actually
stuff,
like his look more when he's just Jack Napier.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because it's meant to be reminiscent of his character in Chinatown. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, then you must love the movie Chinatown.
I do like the movie Chinatown.
Are they doing a prequel to that or something?
Oh.
Yeah.
China, just a couple of shops on a street that isn't quite finished yet. Empty street town. What's going to be built here?
Did you see
the town?
Did you see the sequel to that?
The Two Jakes. Yes.
Yeah. Not good, right? You still got that bandage?
No. He's the injury to his face has healed by the time of the two Jakes.
Did they write that into the movie because he had an actual injury?
I don't know. I couldn't tell you.
Yeah, anyway.
I can tell you that his father was in the Dallas Cowboys.
I don't believe you.
No, it's probably for the best.
Like the cow, like a group of cowboys?
Mm.
Yeah, I mean, Ledger, obviously, as well. Was really good.
Oh, yeah, no, actually, that design I like a lot.
I like the weird suit. I like the way the makeup kind of rots off over the course of the movie. Like, he's just slept in it.
Yes. Yeah. A lot of people have pointed out to me that, speaking of Joker, you can't just put green dye in your hair because it had come out.
Yeah.
He would have had to bleach his hair first.
Yeah, he would have. Yeah, because his hair's dark, so it wouldn't
Also, I hate that design. I don't like any aspect of it. I don't like his big underpants.
I don't mind the suit.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's kind of Caesar Romero.
You know, I like Ledger's design a lot, except for the tie, which I think is incongruous with the rest of the outfit.
But do you think that's...
That's what you come here for, insights about the tie.
But isn't that to annoy you specifically?
I think it is kind of to annoy me specifically.
Yeah.
I think Christopher Nolan... Because if you've seen Christopher Nolan, like a lot of his characters dress like him.
Yes.
Like in characters Inception and whatever, dress like Christopher Nolan. And I think maybe that is designed to annoy specifically people...
Like
who dressed like
and
him.
Yeah. Okay, fair enough.
Son of a bitch, Christopher
Nolan. Son of a bitch. Do you want to read a letter out?
Yes, I do. Mm. This is from Looper Ward.
I think they've all got good stuff about
them. Yeah, I think
so
too, yeah.
And I was serious about the Caesar Romero thing. I think that totally works for that era.
Also, I like that Heath Ledger's version has a coat full of hand grenades.
Yeah, that's terrific. At all times, do you reckon?
Yeah, pretty much, I reckon, yeah. And if somebody shoots him in the wrong spot, he's done and he's okay with that.
Oh, goodness.
This is from a guy named Looper Ward.
Love it.
He says, my name is Looper. That's the subject.
Is that it? Is that the whole email?
Yeah, that's it. My name is Looper. Is it short for something?
Yeah,
Looper. Email back, Looper. I want to know what the origin of your name is. This can't be a nickname, surely.
Looperandum. Looperandum?
Nope, doesn't work. Mm. My name is Looper, so your last episode was very enjoyable, if not kind of weird, like when you said Looper juices. I did not like the Looper movie, but my question to you would be, if you had a movie with your name as the title, what genre would you want it to be, and would you prefer it to be really bad or really good? Also, can I be the official Looper of the podcast?
Bad. Bad movie.
You want a bad movie with the name James?
Mr. Sunday Movies.
Oh, no.
There's plenty of bad movies with that bloody title in a bloody...
My goodness. Are you going to go nostalgia critic style? Or are you going to fund your own movie?
I'm going to do it, yeah.
Nice. And it's all the wacky adventures of us.
And I saved the universe at the end.
Oh, my goodness. That's exciting.
But now,
it has to be a movie called James.
Yeah.
When you think of a movie called...
A movie called James sounds like a serious movie about a guy who becomes the president or something.
No, that's... Well, that sounds like a Kevin Kline movie where he accidentally becomes a president.
Oh, that's
true. That sounds whimsical to me.
It might be a bit whimsical. But like if it was Jimmy, then it would be like... Or Jim.
About Jimmy Hoffa.
Like that
It'd
would
be another movie about
you
know, Jimmy
you
Hoffa.
You can change James where it kind of changes like the context.
Well, what do most people call you? James, surely.
I get a mix, but James mostly, yeah.
Okay, it has to be a movie called James.
Yes.
Just See, I think it would be about a president, I think.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be humanizing whatever president was called James. Whichever one. I'm sure there was one. James Patterson.
McAllister.
James McAllister.
James McPatterson.
I'm going to look up President... I'm not going to. There's a president called James,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Okay, so it's a very serious movie about a president called...
But it's bad?
Yeah, but it's bad. It's one of those ones where it's like... It's so earnest and like Oscar bait, it's terrible.
It's one of the it's one of those ones where the previous year somebody made a similar movie and it got some Oscar bait. So a bunch of idiots with too much money, more money than sense, were like, let's make it. It's like remember when
it's like that Nixon movie.
Yeah, it's like you know when Walk Hard skewered all the music biopics, and now you watch one of those and you're like, oh, this is terrible.
This is Walk Hard.
it's somebody made a parody of like a president biopic. Mm. And this is the movie that came after.
Came out next,
so it's really earnest and
Absolutely.
It's terrible.
Yeah, 100%.
Okay.
Mason, though. Would you go Mason or would you go full name?
We go Nicholas Mason.
I think
Mason.
Nick Mason is like an action hero name.
Yeah.
You know, kind of like whatever the guy's name in Equalizer is.
But I mean, that's there's The Secret Life of Nick
that is
Mason
true.
Or The Second Life of
How
Nick Mason.
How often do you get tweeted that?
Every day. But I haven't read it and I shan't read it. They're going to turn it into a movie as well.
Are they really?
I don't know. Probably. And then I'm going to get it
forever.
What is
that, like a spy novel? Like an
it's
espionage
about a
thing?
It's about a guy and he had a deep dark past and he gets, I think he's like a criminal and he gets released from prison early and then like under mysterious circumstances by some crime guy and he's like, I've released you early so you can do crimes and he's like, but I don't want to do crimes.
I want a second life of me, Nick Mason.
That's right.
Yeah, cool.
So
podcaster, it is you.
Nice.
Yeah. So, but if it was, I don't know. I feel like it'd like, well, Walk Hard, like in an Equalizer, like a John Wick. I feel like it's that kind of name.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I feel like that's the kind of thing it would be.
If it were just Mason,
like a revenge thing, but also you've got a heart of gold. So like you think you're a little bit past your prime. You're in it.
Oh, good.
You've got a deep, dark past.
Yep.
And you've had some tragedy.
I'm wearing the stilt shoes.
Yeah, you're wearing the stilt shoes. But
I'm staggering around the neighborhood, just shuffling.
But something happens, like somebody, like a local kid gets kidnapped and you have to...
Okay, hush it up.
No, you have to...
But I'm conflicted about it. I'm conflicted about it the whole time.
Let's say you're hired for like private security for like there's you know, someone who owns a shop in the street, okay, and their kid gets kidnapped and then you have to go after
them. I was just thinking it'd be about a guy who like makes a thing out of stone.
That's not true.
Paves a driveway or something.
Paves a driveway. Larry Bird did that. He wrecked his back doing it.
Did he really?
Yeah, he did.
Wow.
He like concreted his dad's driveway and ruined his back.
Larry Bird.
The basketball player. Yes.
He paved his own dad's driveway.
Yes.
Pre-basketball or after basketball?
During the, when he was playing. Huh. It was one of those hard-working kind of like... Southern kind of dudes. He still is.
Do you think that's a mini game in like the Jordan versus Bird video game? There's a depending on which character you pick, like halfway through, Michael Jordan plays golf badly, and
baseball,
whatever, and Larry Bird paves his dad's driveway, and it's a Tetris style game.
Oh, terrific!
It's like imagine Tetris.
Yeah,
it's like a swirl, like a wavy driveway, and tiles come down, and you've got a
crook back.
You've got a crook back. Yeah, exactly.
And then when you play the second half of the game, you're injured.
You've got like you're bent over. And, like, if you move too fast, like, lightning bolts come out of your back.
Yeah, that's right. I would like to see an NBA Jam-style game where Larry Bird paves a driveway. You know, it's just ridiculous over the top. And
Sometimes it's like he's on fire! Yeah. And you just, like, pave
concrete mix! And it's just
nice.
Anyway, the Larry Bird video game in answer to whatever this question was.
I paved my dad's driveway. Look, I like your one also.
Thanks. This is from AJ Valente, says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. I'd like to hear what your favorite mockumentaries are. Mine currently is Wellington Paranormal, which I've never seen.
That's a good show.
I gotta watch it. Yeah. Is it linked to the other Wellington supernatural Taika Waititi movie?
What We Do in the Shadows.
Yeah,
it is.
It is linked. Yeah. So it's a spin-off of that.
It's the same universe,
Because I've seen the pilot of that show as well, which I quite
liked. Oh, I don't know if it's a pilot. I don't know if it's a spin-off of the TV series.
But they're all sort of linked.
Yeah, but it's a spin-off of the movie.
Okay,
I assume they're linked. Unless What We Do in the Shadows, the TV series, is a weird remake or something.
A movie that nobody really watched, but I think it's really funny and it's recent, is Pop Star Never Stop, Never Stopping.
That's great.
The Andy Samberg. He's kind of like a Justin Bieber. Also, and what's his name? The other Justin.
Justin Timberlake?
He's kind of like that-esque kind of a Macklemore kind of character.
Yeah, right.
Also.
Uh-huh.
And it's just lunacy.
It is a good one.
And it's very funny.
Mm.
And it's got a great cast.
Yep.
And it made no money. Like, nobody saw it.
Yeah, right.
It's terrific.
Mm. But and it's got great it's streaming out there. That's where I saw it, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Have you got one? Spinal Tap, This Is.
Yeah, This Is Spinal Tap.
I'd have to watch that again.
I mean, speaking of Walk Hard, that's the one.
Oh, yeah.
That's not a mockumentary. It's a biopic, really. Have you ever seen Look Around You? That's a TV series.
No.
It's like a parody of all those... Australia especially, if you'd watch the ABC in like an afternoon, it'd be like, here's nature. Look at nature.
Right, okay.
It's kind of like a spoof science show.
Okay, right. Yeah. Well, when is this from?
Early 2000s maybe.
Okay, fair enough. All right, cool. Borat comes up when you Google this.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I mean, I feel like Borat's been ruined just by people.
Doing Borat impressions?
Surf's Up. I'm looking at Surf's Up is in here. That's...
What's Surf's Up?
It's a movie where Shia LaBeouf voices a surfing CGI penguin.
Hey, that's a great mockumentary.
I'm pretty confident. Kenny, which is an Australian mockumentary about...
Beef and Dairy Network, the podcast, is a great mockumentary, I guess, of sorts.
Did you see Bruno?
No, I've never seen Bruno.
I think I did. I don't remember liking it very much. Mm-hmm. Anyway, there's some mockumentaries for you, but the number one for me, if you haven't seen it, would be Pops. Might not be the best, but Popstar Never Stop, Never Stop.
That's a good one, yeah.
It's very good.
Look Around You is, I think it's probably on YouTube.
Mm.
Not a mockumentary, but something, they just released it and I have to get it. Are you aware of Scarfolk?
No.
It's a blog. It's a blog set in a weird town in England where the 70s keeps looping.
Okay.
And it's like this kind of surreal, I don't know, it's hard to describe.
Yeah.
But they've released recently the Scarfolk Annual. Okay. Which is like, you know, again, when we were kids, this thing was like an annual. It would be like the Knight Rider annual. And it was just like a hardback kind of book.
Mm.
And it had like comics and cartoons and like prose stuff and puzzles and mazes and whatever.
Yeah.
And it's like a parody of that.
Yes.
And I have to get it because it looks...
Like a physical copy.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Okay. Mm. Cool. Scarfolk. Scarface, the movie. Got
Hang
it.
Hang on. I'm gonna bloody get one up here. Yeah, Scarfolk, a fictional northern English town created by writer and designer Richard Littler, a blog of fake historical documents parodying British public information posters of the 70s. I know that doesn't sound exciting at all, but it's super weird and kind of good. Like it's like a satire of that decade, and it's also like a satire of now, like through the lens of the 70s.
Cool.
I wonder if blog if you go to scarfolk.blogspot.com, this month they've released the Little Lady Breath Mirror Corpse Detection Set. So it's like a fake, you know, like a plastic action figure set, and you pop it out and you. They're like, there's a pink one for girls and a blue one for boys.
Love it.
And you check if somebody's alive with it. Anyway, that's an example.
Yeah. Okay, cool. Yeah. I'll check that out. Are you got another letter? Or is that
I've got some more letters. Don't even worry about it, mate.
I wasn't that worried, to be honest.
Okay.
Either way.
Oh, this is from Con LaQuinn. You might know from photoshopping and his first name, her name, being spelled C-O-N-L-A-O-D-H.
Oh, very good.
Hey, Jimmy and Nicky, with the imminent release of James's magnum opus.
Hello. It's not a magnum opus.
Or there is something I need to know. What was the glaringly strange thing that James noticed about Han Solo during The Force Awakens?
Oh, okay, yeah, I can know. This is
he mentioned it months and months ago, and I thought like a fool that he would reveal this revelation in an upcoming video, but alas, no dice.
I never did it. But there is a moment in The Force Awakens where Rey is talking to Han Solo after they land on Maz Kanata's planet, and they're talking to each other. And what they've done, they've either reshot it or taken the same footage from the thing and kind of mixed it together. But Han Solo's face is not attached properly to his forehead, and it shifts.
Yes.
Like his forehead moves and his head doesn't. So they've clearly just pasted his head on.
Uh-huh.
And like color-wise, it matches perfectly.
Yes.
But I don't know whether they did it in a pickup or whatever, but they've put his face on
a stunt
himself.
Man. Oh, not a double or anything.
No.
Okay.
And it shifts. There's like a second where it like shifts sideways.
Okay.
And I just... it's baffling to me what happened there.
And nobody else is like...
No, not to my knowledge.
You're the only one who's picked up on it.
It seems to be. I mean, also, nobody else is talking about this, obviously.
Of course.
You know, so...
Yeah.
Anyway, that's the thing.
Yeah. I got one last email. This is from Dave Murray.
Hello, Dave.
It says, Wandering Movie Men. Hi, James and Meso. My 14-year-old son Baxter and I are currently walking the Te Araroa Trail, which is the length of New Zealand. And I was hoping you could give Baxter a shout out on your show. He's currently walked over 750 kilometres and
Holy
is still going strong.
Hell.
Hello, Baxter. Hi, congratulations.
Baxter. Stop doing it, Baxter. You've gone too far.
We're listening to your show in the evenings as we rest and get ready for the next day. Thanks for the great show. It really picks us up after a long day.
That's amazing. Mm. 750 kilometres. My goodness.
No, right.
It's a beautiful country, though. You know
what
I mean?
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. Something with the sheep stuff, but let's not get into it. That's incredible. Shout out and well done.
Well done, Baxter.
Mm.
And Dave, I guess.
Ah,
but you're
no.
a grown man.
You're a grown man, doesn't count.
As far as we know.
Doesn't count.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you want to reach the show, it's something. No, do the end of the show.
Oh, thank you.
Do that.
Is that the end of the show?
It's the end of the show.
Thank you, everybody, for listening. Mm. Thank you for telling a friend and subscribing and giving us a rating and giving us a nice review. James, do you have a nice review?
You know I do. This is from Bryce Lover Forever. It says podcast. As a
nice,
title.
Good.
5 stars says, it is a podcast you can listen to. It's good. End of review. So they can be as brief as that. You can do it right in app. Some people like to like insult friends or give shout outs through there. It's a good way to sneak that in if you want
to. It is a good way. That's right.
Sometimes I don't read them properly before I start reading them out. So, you know, reviews always help. And sometimes the reviews seem to disappear as well. So if you have reviewed and
maybe review again.
Another one,
maybe review every day.
Yeah,
you
every
know?
Day for the rest of your life. That
that's
would be
right.
great. Yeah.
Thank you, everybody, for buying our USB cassette tapes.
Yes.
More on the way.
You can also buy the old one as well.
Buy the old one. You can buy any number of merchandise things that we have.
That's right.
If you'd like to get in contact with us, you can go to Weekly Planet Pod at Facebook, at Gmail, at Twitter, at Bandcamp,
yes.
where we have all our commentaries except the Avengers Endgame one.
Correct.
So if you just want to listen to any of them,
yep.
just
also
go for your life.
Patreon there as well. Obviously.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I got to sort out a better thing in there. So. They're all in the one spot because you got. Otherwise, you have to scroll through.
I see.
Or Collings will figure it out.
Good on him.
Don't worry, Collings. You've got enough to do.
Oh, my goodness. You can also go to planetbroadcasting.com, see all the great podcasts on the Planet Broadcasting Network, including maybe one that's coming up, a new one coming up.
Very exciting
soon.
One, actually.
Very exciting one we can't talk about yet.
Yeah.
But we'll get cracking on that.
It's the Weekly Planet 2. It's us right. again.
It's us again. You can also go there and sign up to the newsletter that comes out every week from the great Rob Collings.
Yes.
Thank you, Rob Collings. He's at the Weekly Planet on Twitter. I am on Twitter. I'm Wikipedia Brown. And on Instagram, yep. I'm Nick Maso. NickMaseau. You're Mr. Sunday Movies everywhere.
You know what, bitch?
Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook yep. group. Civil fun discussions on all kinds of podcasts and pop culture topics. Very yes. good fun. We've got some merchandise. We've got the aforementioned USB tapes. We also have t-shirts on tpublic.com. Just search for the Weekly Planet.
Please do.
If you'd like to support the show, you can go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. If you want to chuck in a buck, we would definitely appreciate that. You can also go to the Amazon affiliate link in our episode description.
Yes.
Buy the Martin Scorsese box set of DVDs. It's Martin Scorsese's face.
That's all it is.
Yep.
And on the back, it's the back of his head.
Oh, you know, should it be young Robert De Niro and old Robert De Niro? You flip them around.
But then it would be different sizes.
No, it wouldn't. Not.
Oh, it would be the
the Irishman version. Yeah,
the potato cut.
Exactly, the potato the potato cut, exactly. Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes.
Yes.
That's the whole show,
The whole show, yeah. Next week, depending on what happens, but I think it's probably going to be a trailer-heavy one.
Oh, yes.
We get some big trailers this week.
Okay, big trailers.
Otherwise, we'll be doing a different topic.
Big boys, big trailers.
And then after
that's what
that,
I say.
It's probably just all Star Wars.
Till the end of the year and the end of our lives.
That's right. Jumanji's in there somewhere, I think.
Jumanji!
Should we do a Jumanji one?
Maybe. Do people want to hear a Jumanji one?
Jumanji 3? It is. Three-munji?
Twa-munji.
Twa-munji, yeah. All right. Anyway,
Jumanji Twa. That's what we settled on last time.
Yeah. That's right. Great. All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
Jumanji Twa.
That's a good one. That's great.
That's going to live on in infamy.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm going to tweet it to all the celebrities involved, and they're all going to block me.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because Sathura, I was going to say, that's a... technically a Jumanji movie.
No, it isn't.
It is. It
it's not.
It counts, Mason.
It's not even a spiritual successor.
It's just a movie about board games. But it's in the same board game-iverse.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.